ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Yeah, g'day, Matt. Mike Bell. I'm the Professor of Agronomy at University of Queensland in Gatton. And I've been working in agronomy for nearly 50 years now, so thoroughly enjoyed my whole career.
And your career started in the Ord Irrigation Scheme in the Kimberley. Can you tell me the story of how a kid from Queensland, ended up in the Ord in the late 70s?
Yeah, a very raw kid from Queensland, I can tell you. I was looking for something to do when I graduated, and there was a part-time job opportunity with CSIRO as a casual for 6 to 8 months. I thought, I've never seen that part of Australia, so off we went. And towards the end of that work, which I thoroughly enjoyed, the West Australian department had an agronomist vacancy. They'd made a job offer eventually, and the bloke had gone off, and interestingly, to be a rural reporter with the ABC in that time, and so they wanted someone for the wet season. And I happened to play tennis with a lot of those blokes, and they said, are you looking for a job by any chance?
And there you were.
There I was. And so timing is everything in some of these instances. And I stayed for 5 years, and we did a lot of work on peanuts in particular on the sandy soils.
Yeah, well, tell us more about that, because this is really still early days for the town of Kununurra, early days for the Ord Irrigation Scheme. So as an agronomist, what were the problems you were trying to solve?
Wow. This was post-cotton. So cotton had just fallen over recently. There was all the pesticide issues and everything else that were going on, the bulletproof bugs that were had been hammering it, and we were looking for alternative options. And the sandy soils around the irrigation area were targeted for development, and peanuts were touted as a possibility. I'd had a predecessor in that role, Dr. Roland Lawrence, who'd started to do some of the early work. And I came in 1979, late 79, and just at the time when we were getting the research up and running properly, and a commercial peanut farm was in the development. I think the first crops were probably in 1981 wet season with Jim Hughes, who was I think he was chairman of the Ord Co-op at the time.
Yes, yep.
And we had...
Kununurra still has the Jim Hughes Amphitheatre
on
the banks of the Ord River. Yes.
Okay, yeah. No, Jim was a tremendous guy to work with, and real dynamo. And then there are a few other guys developed. So all that sandy soil out past where the old rice gin used to be. But as you head out of town, out into the main irrigation area...
Yeah, sort of on land, my understanding is on land where the sugar mill decades later was built.
Yes,
And there's actually a cotton gin now.
Yes. Well, the pilot farm for the sugar industry was starting up while we were there, so the early 1980s. Rocky Lurch was the manager, I remember that. But when the peanuts were going well, PWD ran the peanut mill, or the shelling plant at the time, and in the end they handed that over to the co-op to run. But at the same time, we were struggling to find crops to grow with peanuts. Peanuts were extremely successful.
Right.
But what else do you grow with them? You can't grow peanuts.
So finding that rotational crop.
Crop, that was viable. You know, we could grow maize, we could grow other things, but taking maize from the Kununurra in those days to somewhere else was a big deal and just cost prohibitive. So at the same time, the veggie melon production was just starting up, and they were targeting the sands as well. And so we ended up with this, you couldn't grow peanuts, the melons were grown in the dry season, but peanuts were a terrible weed for a melon producer because they couldn't kill them. So peanuts are pretty tough to kill when you don't want them to grow. You can kill them very easily when you do want them to grow. And so I think that was the beginning of the death knell of peanuts up there, is that the hoardy operations were much more profitable, particularly once they got the cool rooms and refrigerated transport and everything else all sorted out. I remember the first load of melons they ever sent to Perth.
Yep.
They didn't have refrigerated cool rooms at the time, and so they loaded the trucks, put the tarps on, drove to Perth, opened the back of the truck, and the melons flowed out into the delivery area. So it was a pretty tough lesson to learn, but cool rooms came in pretty quickly after that to try and get the temperature down before you put the tarp on the top. So.
Wow. You went on to do lots of work with Peanuts in Queensland.
Yeah.
And certainly there was a big crack at doing Peanuts in Katherine back in the day. Does it surprise you that Peanuts have well and truly gone off the agenda in this part of Northern Australia?
Oh, it's. I think it's a really sad story that Peanuts have sort of gone off the agenda everywhere. I mean, Australian has always or had always exported high quality peanuts to the world. We got really premium prices for the product, but now with the collapse of the main peanut processor in Kingaroy, I think the operations in North Queensland, Atherton and Tableland have sort of wound back a fair bit. It's just the Katherine operation was the same. I visited there and Douglas Daly at various times to have a look at what was going on. And just the logistics of getting what is a fairly bulky commodity in the shell to a shelling plant to actually shell them and then transport them to somewhere where they're going to be processed. It was the freight, I think, that knocked them around more than anything else. And if they get too dry, of course, when you shell them, they fall apart. So, you know, you treat them with kid gloves, if you like, in this environment, because when we were growing them in the wet season, and that post-wet period, still pretty warm and low humidities, and so the moisture in the kernels drops really quickly. So when you shell them, you tend to have a lot of splits, which are lower value. It's a real shame. I still eat a lot of peanuts, of course, as a good peanut agronomist would. And I opened a packet of Nobby's nuts the other day, and you see on the side that was predominantly from imported peanuts. And you go, that shouldn't happen.
Have you been back to the Ord in recent times?
I have.
Okay, yep.
We left the Ord in 83, and the first time I went back was to do some work with Jack Daniel and the NACRA guys in Mays about 2 years ago.
Right,
and yep. I just thought, wow, you sort of wander around and you look for the old landmarks and things have changed, but a lot of things have still remained the same too. the agricultural development has been tremendous. You know, you see the expansion of areas and everything compared to when we were there. And that's really gratifying to see. It's great to see, things going ahead and the cotton industry there now kicking goals and doing some tremendous stuff.
If you're tuning in, this is the Country Hour, and I'm speaking to Mike Bell at the Agronomy Australia Conference, which has been held this week in Darwin. And as part of this conference, Mike, you received the C.M. Donald Medal.
Yes.
Now, can you explain to us the award and what it means to you?
It was very humbling. The Donald Medal is an institution in the Agronomy Society and acknowledges C.M. Donald, I'm old, but I'm not quite old enough to have known him in his heyday. But it acknowledges, long-term contribution to the agronomy discipline and to agriculture over a career. And it's very humbling to be considered as a recipient for that. So when I was given the nod and told, you've got to prepare talks and we want you to talk about your career, you go, wow, how do I talk about the last 45 years in 45 minutes? But it turned out to be fairly easy.
It was a great presentation.
Yes, well, you can always talk about some of the successes. You also talk about some of the failures, and I tried to do that yesterday to say that not everything turns out the way you'd hoped, and I guess as long as you learn from it and move on, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
You finish your presentation talking about the future of agronomy.
Yep.
So I wanted to ask you what you think the future is for young agronomists who are coming into a workforce and a world where artificial intelligence is on the rise.
To me, this is one of the biggest challenges for agronomy. I see our role as integrating specialists from all sorts of different spheres to understand how agriculture and farming systems work. And to me, that's the future role of agronomists. the agronomist has to be someone who ground truths all this information that's coming from AI, that's coming from robotic equipment, that's coming from remote sensing, and make sense of it and say, how do I use this knowledge to convert that into a management response for a farmer or an industry? And that requires experience. It requires time. You need to see different things. I mean, you can have all the basic science underpinning it, but when you see that science, you expect something to happen and something else happens for a very valid biological reason. Yeah. But once you start to see those things often enough, you start to appreciate the complexity of what we're trying to manage. And to me, that's the role of agronomists, is to be those integrators, to be those ones who look at recommendations that are coming out from you know, IT systems or AI processes and say, does this make sense? When I convert that back to the soils I'm working in, the environment I'm working in, what I'm trying to do with my cropping system, does this make sense? And to me, one of the big challenges we've got is there's so much information out there, but the context of how that work was done and why things happened doesn't always come with the information. Mm. So, you know, and I really feel for some young agronomists who are put into a regional area with an iPad and a mobile phone and say, you know, go to it. You've got guys with big operations buying millions of dollars worth of inputs to put into a system, and you're advising them, and where do you pull your information from? You can find info on the web and everything else, but unless you know how to fact check that, how to contextualise that for the environment, it's very difficult.
So my final question to you, Mike, I'll take us back to Kununurra. What was your biggest barramundi?
Oh, the embarrassing thing was my wife caught a bigger barramundi than I did. So. That's a very funny story there, because when I saw this her pull in this great big monster, I had its head off and its tail off, and I was trying to make it as small as I could for the photographs, but no, the fishing hooks came out and she tacked it back together again for the photo. So yeah, I'm humiliated there.
Well done on the award, the Donald Medal, and thanks for your time on the Country Hour.
Thanks very much.